old school. Used to be a drunk dude. Businessman, nah, everybody love that dude. BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com. Go ahead, I dare you log on. Yep, he's old school. Yep, used to be a drunk dude. Businessman, now everybody love that dude. BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com. Go ahead, I dare you log on. BobbyBuck.com. Go ahead, log on. Log on. BobbyBuck.com.
All right, all right. Welcome back to the Bobby Buck Show. And this gonna be a real nice youngified duty here. Cause we got some young people in here, and we're gonna let them speak and get their voices out there and be heard and seen. Cause everybody probably watching y'all live. Are y'all ready for this? Yeah, y'all nervous?
Yep.
You are. Well, you can't be nervous out here. Come on. So anyway, this is Bobby Buck for the Bobby Buck Show, and tonight I have my special co-host, Miss Claudia. From L.A. on Cloud 9.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great.
All right. I'm glad you're here. You're not nervous, are you?
A little bit.
Okay. Hey. Yep. Nervous is put in front of you to get over. That's all. Yeah. And then on the end, my other special guest co-host is Miss Marilyn.
Marilyn Irizarry.
Hey, I'm glad she can say that because I can't.
Yeah. But, La Boricua.
Now, tell people where you're from, Marilyn, real quick, so people kind of...
Okay.
Yeah.
I was made in New York. a few years ago, and I am now in Los Angeles. I am a homeless and human rights activist. I am in recovery 27 years, and I'm here to support Bobby and anybody else who needs help.
All right. Nice. Thank you. I need all the support I can get, boy. And all right, Ms. Claudia, let people know who you are and what you're doing.
I am Claudia Perez. I was born in Inglewood. And I'm from South Central LA. I am the founder of LA on Cloud 9, and I brought my kids here today to talk about their experiences. Teen Project.
Teen Project.
Yeah.
All right, that's where we're going to have a good time tonight. So anyway, we're going to let y'all go first. So, Miss Claudia, you know your people's better than I do. So, who we got over here?
Carlos. All right. My name is Carlos Segovia. I'm 17 years old. I was born in El Salvador, and I've been here since I was six.
Okay. All right.
My name is Marbrisa Flores. I'm 16 years old, and I'm from South Central.
My name is Christy Moran. I'm turning 13 next month.
She's from South Central.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You said 13. So let anybody know, give you some birthday presents, huh? You let me know early, right. Next month. All right. So anyway, we go ahead and let everybody else introduce themselves. Y'all want to try to get to the mic?
We got Angel right here, my son Angel. He's 15 years old. He's from South Central. Here we got my niece Valerie.
Hi, my name is Valerie. I'm 13 years old, and I live in North Hollywood.
Got my other niece right here coming up.
My name is Jasmine, and I'm 16, and I'm from North Hollywood.
All right.
Got my dear neighbor right here.
My name is Naja, and I'm 11, and
from South Central. And we got the co-founder here, which is Scotty.
My name is Kari Guerrero. I'm 30. I'm not a teen. And I reside in Harbor City.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hello, my name is Gabby, and I'm from Lawndale.
Yeah,
thank you.
You look close.
She good.
Okay, all right, cool. So what we're going to do, we're going to let Miss Claudia take over the co-host position and let you talk to your peoples and get some information from them.
I brought the teens here to talk about their experiences and pretty much how they feel about helping the homeless community. So I want Carlos to talk about his experience and what made him start helping the homeless and tell us.
Well, I've always been into like philanthropical work, and when I found out about this organization, like that's me, you know, like I feel like the most beautiful thing you can give to somebody is your time, you know, because it's something that you'll never get back, you know. There's always going to be more money. There's always going to be more everything, you know, but time you'll never get back. So I feel that that's something that if you can give it, then you definitely should.
How does your friends at school, I mean, what do they think about? Do you tell them what you do? Do you tell them you come to Skid Row?
Yeah, I tell them. And some of them actually want to get involved. You know, they want to get more involved with it. So I tell them, you know, come through every Friday, you know, every fourth Sunday of the month, we're at MacArthur Park. I tell them.
Is this something you want to do?
For the rest of my life? Yeah. Definitely. Nice. It's definitely something I want to do for the rest of my life.
Nice. Thank you, Carlos. How about you, Marissa?
When I was younger, my dad would always take me to this Chinese food place, and there was always a homeless guy named Bill there. And it always felt good to buy him a plate of food. And, you know, friends at school, some of them think it's, like, weird, or a lot of people look down on homeless people. They call them, like, drunkies or, like, lazy for not having a job, but they don't know their stories. And there's, like, nothing greater than receiving a smile from someone and a thank you, because the little things that we have, we should appreciate them, because others don't have much.
That's right. That was going to be my next question. How does it make you feel?
Wow. Like, it's great. It's like a feeling that, I don't know, nothing can top it. Helping others, just being compassionate about people in need. Because one day you'll be in need and there will be someone there to help you.
You know how we also help the homeless animals as well? How does that make you feel?
There's so many animals that people don't really care about, or people just consider animals and they take them for granted. But helping an animal is like helping a human being. You know, we're all the same. And sometimes animals are people's best friends.
Yeah.
And without animals, this world would be worse.
That's true, Bobby.
Yeah, I feel you, you know, because, you know, I was young. I used to have pets, you know, like dogs and everything. And they kind of just help you get through some things, you know. So when you get, yeah. Cause when you're a kid, you get in trouble, you go fuss at your dog.
How about you, Christy? How do you feel? Can you talk about your experiences and how do you feel helping the homeless community?
It feels great to help the homeless and rescue animals that are in the streets. Like, people always ask me, like, do you get paid for doing this? I always tell them I get paid by not, I don't get paid, but how can I put this?
How you feel. The way it makes you feel, that's how you get paid.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. So I'm going to say, anybody over there want to get to the mic and say a few things?
Come here, Nigel. I want you to talk about your experiences as well. My question is, how do you feel? Like, what? How does it feel to help the homeless community?
It feels very good to help like people that's in need, that like don't have as much stuff as I do.
Okay. Do you like doing this? Is it something you're looking forward to doing for the rest of your life?
Or
Yeah. Does it make you feel good?
Yeah.
Skid Row, huh? I take you there a lot.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, come on, Angel. Come here. Quit being shy, you guys. Let's talk. You guys are out there in the streets hitting the pavement every Friday. Talk about your experiences and how you guys do this all the time.
Yeah.
Come on.
In my opinion, it feels great doing this. I never thought I would do this before.
Why don't you tell them what you're doing at school, your group you started at school?
I'm starting a club in school called From the Heart. That's a school program.
And he started this From the Heart group because of LA on Cloud Nine. He got his teachers to approve a group, I guess a group of students who are going to start helping the homeless community. They just can't use team project. It has to be changed. Which is good. I want him to raise that, you know, awareness of homelessness in school. You know, a lot of kids and teens just walk by poverty all the time, and they just don't, you know, these kids are always out there helping and looking at reality.
Yeah. See, they were getting a lot more knowledge than the other kids their age. Yeah. Than the stuff they're going through. And they're going to be able to pass it down before they get old like me.
I honestly feel it's changed the kids, working with them and seeing how they are now, not so greedy.
Yeah.
You know, they share. They want less now, you know.
Yeah.
When video games or anything like that, they don't really ask for much, which is good for me. But it helps them to be more, you know, I guess more passionate, more have compassion and just, you know, understand that this is a struggle out there.
Yeah, I think that should even be like, you know, like a course in school for people to go through, seem like, you know, just to feel some real reality for people to come. Because really what I want to do is kind of, I know we never total it, but I want to end what's going on Skid Row, really.
Right.
But I want people, while it's there, everybody need to come check it out, especially as being a youngster. I think that'll give you a whole new outlook on life. Because when you're growing up, when you're around kids, people your age or whatever, they're laughing and joking at them, you be like, that ain't cool.
Yep. No, Bobby, when I get a van, school bus, that's my plan. I mean, that's my goal, to get like a field trip type.
Okay.
I mean, that just so they could take a little ride over here and just so they could see.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get all these kids in my truck. I mean, we got to use 2-3 cars sometimes, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But if I had a bus, best believe we're picking up more teenagers.
Well, like I said, I've just been plugging in with y'all hard and heavy, you know, hardcore myself. So we're going to get some things happening because with the youth, because I say my other business partner, she's not here right now, but she's working with her youth foundation. And, man, her been working together about 6 years. And we really want to plug in and work with the youth and, you know, and bring a real awareness, not just to homelessness, but to the youth as a whole, that people can see that y'all out there working. And people need to see, and y'all need to know. And people, they need to know what y'all doing, and it's real.
I mean, Team Project also helps Skid Row clean up.
Right.
Well, you know, the youth goes out there and does a little cleanup over there, and then we're starting our own cleanup in South Central.
Okay.
That's going to begin on October 11th, which is going to be the youth and the grown folks.
Oh, okay. I tell you what, I gotta get a camera crew to follow around.
Put a camera on my head. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What's
that? I mean...
You said you're 30. I'm a little bit older than that. I started in Harlem in the 1960s when the Vietnam vets were coming back. And it was really hard because when they came back drug addicts. And they ended up, after being in Harlem, they were third and fourth generation welfare moms and dads. They were almost illiterate. And a lot of them ended up homeless. And it gave me a heart from since I was a child. And it helped me forever. And that's what I did with my daughter. We were helping the children of the night, which are the ones that are the runaways that get caught up and trafficked. So everything that you're doing is way beyond what you're ever going to understand of it. It's such a blessing. You won't even know.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's real, because what y'all being tapped into is some real, real, real strong, hardcore reality. Because I didn't find out about this, you know, until 2011. And that's when, you know, I went for real homeless. I was homeless since I've been here and everything, staying with different people, different places. But I actually had to go to Skid Row to, you know, to move in. And the first day I went down there, I was tripping. I know there's also a spiritual thing with it. I don't know if y'all tapped into the spiritual world, like, you know, like I am, but when I went down there, it's like I had blinders on. Just in my right mind, I wouldn't just went down there and try to go get nowhere to live. So I walked down there, I looked around, I said, what is this? What I'm coming here for? So I went, got into one of the shelters down there, and I stayed there for like 2 or 3 months, and Then, you know, I ran into a few people. I started networking like I do everywhere else. I started running into some positive people on Skid Row. I was going like, So then that's when I started getting a different awakening, you know, because I never really just judged people anyway, because I used to be judged real hard and heavy. I used to be a drunk. For 18 years, I was like, So but I got sober. So luckily, I was sober when I went to Skid Row. Because if I'd have been drunk when I went to Skid Row, I think I would have blended in, and y'all would have been down there helping me. Because that's how bad off I was. So but when I moved in down there, I started seeing different things. I said, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be here so I can see what's going on wrong. So then I can step back out and correct it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I said, I'm going to start my own movement, which I want to call an action movement, where y'all already doing it. Do physical actions to help people. And because a lot of people are getting paid to do false actions to keep people down.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's why I say I want to get my own independent advertisement company. We got to do a joint fundraiser. So I want to advertise for all the people doing real positive actions and promote it and put it out there. So, and also I want to set it up for people where people can get paid referring people. So people that's out there doing stuff positive and helping people, a lot of times they don't have a lot of money. They be going through a lot of stuff. So I want to come up with a way where people can get paid to get out there and do what they do. And, you know, they're doing it voluntary way. A little money don't hurt, right?
I don't want that.
Yeah.
Trust me, they get their Starbucks. They get their stuff after they do the little deeds. They work for it.
Yeah, that's real good. That's real good. So what about with going to school with peer pressure? Does that not affect any of y'all at all? Y'all just tough? Y'all got thick skin? Peer pressure?
No, yeah. There's one youth guy friend, my neighbor, Romero. Hope you're listening.
Ooh, she got you out on live.
Man, I took him to Skid Row one time. He never wanted to go back. And we didn't even walk Skid Row. We were in my truck giving out food. It was like we went through St. Julian's, and he was just like, I can't go anymore.
St. Julian's can scare off some real tough people.
But, you know, I like to toughen them up.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
There's not just negative there. Like you said, there's also positive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you learn from it as well. It's not about being scared. It's just, you know, being on your toes. That's how I see it.
Yeah. But some people just can't handle it.
Well, he couldn't handle it. And I understand, so I'm putting him out there, Romero.
Yeah.
Hopefully he toughens up a little bit and joins us again.
Well, I had one partner, you know, I met him down there and everything. He said he used to go to Tijuana and come back. So he came back with some so-called hardcore gangster type people. So when you live down there, you become, you know, second nature. You don't think nothing about it. You see all the craziness or whatever. You're like, oh, okay, going down. He said, them people came with him from Tijuana, he turned around, they was gone. He said, I thought y'all were hardcore. He said, man, it's too many of them. So a lot of people, you know, it's something different.
Skid Row stuff, but
yeah.
I mean, I've learned a lot from it.
Oh, yeah, me
it's
too.
It's changed me in a lot of ways. And that's what I want the youth to see as well. I mean, that's a lot of them have never even been there, and they just now they go, of course. But it was like one of those wow experience.
Right.
Do you guys want to go again? Yeah, let's go.
Okay.
We do it.
All right.
I personally believe that there should be programs where all of the children from all the schools can come down here.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people, and there are a lot of people that have a lot of big hearts. There's a lot of people that are very selfish and self-centered, and I'm not saying the kids are, but it would help them to see what happens to some people. Some of those guys, like the guy I just left, he speaks six languages. There are people down there who are lawyers, judges,
mm-hmm.
pastors, people that you would never think that would end up there. But for whatever reason, they did. And it's not because they want to be there. It's because of circumstances and situations
mm-hmm.
that they're there. Some of them are drug addicts, but the majority of them are just broken people for whatever reason.
That's true.
Yep. You know, I can tell y'all one thing about me. Y'all look at me, I'm goofy. I might make people laugh. I got to the point where I was depressed. I was drinking so much. I was popping pills. I was trying. I was mad when I used to wake up in the morning. Every time I hear the birds chirping or the sun come out, I put my head up under the covers and stuff. Or I ain't try to, you know, drink and pop pills, and it didn't happen. So that's why I say I think what I went through before I came there, I can kind of understand, you know, and sympathize with it because, I try to take myself out. So, and it wasn't meant to happen and everything. So I say, so with a lot of people down there, they're going through what I was going through. They're going through that right now. And those be the people I be wanting to help and everything. Like, I be out there, I be riding a bus, I see people. Like, I just met a guy yesterday, he just got out of the penitentiary. So, me and you can work together because when I'm out there, I want to have somewhere to take these people. I can call, hey, I got one over here on the corner or so-and-so. I need somebody to come over here and pick him up. Or I got somebody just got out of the penitentiary. He's real smart. We need to place him somewhere. They need to get placement when they come out or when they fall down. So a lot of people is like, like just picking people up. But people who's out there trying to help people, they need people to help keep them afloat. So that's what y'all can be there for with the youth. Y'all get out there. Y'all, oh, man, because y'all stronger. Y'all young. Y'all can go. Y'all can do more than we do. So we can sit back and spectate and watch what y'all do, and then that make us feel good.
No, Bobby, excuse me. The calls and stuff, we get them. We get those calls from people. And the majority of the calls is they can't get in the shelter. They just became homeless. Mm-hmm. They don't know where to go.
Yeah.
Or the shelters just won't let them in.
Yep.
So they need a tent, blankets, hygiene, clothes.
Yeah.
And we go and we give them that.
That's what we do. I'm finna plug it with you hard and heavy. We finna get this, because we supposed to meet right now. Okay. I feel it. Okay, well, I'm gonna take a little break for a little bit with a little gangsta party. Yeah. Y'all shouldn't know nothing about that.
Ain't nothing but a gangsta party. Why you acting like
had to take a little nice soothing break for a second, get some things straight. And I think we have a caller on the line just go around. So, caller, you are live. Who do we have here?
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Go ahead. Hey, Bobby, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Tell people who you are.
Well, I'm Vanessa Wells, and I'm from Hot Springs, Arkansas.
So what what brings you to call the Skid Row Studios?
Well, Bobby, I have a question. I want to start my own nonprofit charity, and I just wanted to know what's the best way, or how do I go about doing that? Get started.
You talking about paperwork or just doing it? Because if you want to get started, just do it. Just do it. Go out there and help.
Probably talking about paperwork then.
You gotta talk to my lawyer about that.
You don't know about all that.
I don't know.
I want to start a charity for struggling single parents. Because if you notice, in today's society, single parents have doubled. And there's a lot of single parents that are playing the both roles of the being the mother and the father. And if you notice, it's mainly the females. And single mothers are struggling because they're trying to support the family. And it's a burden to them because, having to try to balance out work and family duties. And, they become more overwhelmed, feeling fatigued and tired, worn out, have no time for themselves. And they become emotionally drained and depressed. So I figured that if I were to start a nonprofit charity for struggling single parents, we can bring the community in to try to help them out.
You sure can.
Yeah, because...
And...
No, go ahead. No, you go ahead. No, I'm gonna, go ahead.
Well, speaking from experience for myself, I would feel guilty because I work all the time and I want to, you know, do things with my children, but trying to balance work and trying to balance, you know, taking care of my kids or taking them on special trips or out to eat or to the movies on a regular, you know, things that children like to do, it's hard. And I feel guilty because, you know, I have limited finances. And the children begin to feel like they're less important to their parents, especially when, you know, they come to their parents with a concern or just to conversate. And by the parents, you know, they sometimes not realizing, and it does happen that the parents, they push their children, you know, aside because they're overwhelmed. Either they're too tired to talk to them or put it off for another day, you know, and the kids feel like they're, you know, not important, you know, and this adds a lot of more stress and tension between the parents and, you know, in the children, and their behavior starts to change from good to bad. Yeah. So, you know, this is where they turn to the street, you know, looking for what they're missing at home. And they end up picking up bad habits from, you know, from disrespecting their parents, to selling drugs, doing drugs, alcohol, prostitution, violence, whatever. And they pick up these habits and they bring them to their homes. And this is really heartbreaking to me because I see single parents, including myself, struggling, you know, because they need help. And if the community can, you know, just can step in and get involved and help these parents, you know, it can relieve a lot of stress off the parents. You know, they can, you don't have to, you know, have a charity to do this. You can just do it from your heart. Be your own community and do it from your heart. And if you see someone or know a single parent that's struggling, you know, take that time out, you know, to do so, to help them. Like, you know, offering donations, clothing, give them clothing, food, school supplies, or just being a positive mentor to these parents' children. You know, taking them out to the movies, giving the parents a break so they can breathe, you know. But just make sure you get to know the parents before you do this to develop a good positive understanding relationship between you, the parent, and the children. You know, and let the children know that, you know, they are important to you and you do love them. And take them seriously. Sometimes they just want you to listen to them. Yeah. And some parents, they don't. They don't realize that children are reaching out for them for help.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the time do we like what we hear our children saying, but still listen to them. Just because we don't like it or disagree it, don't mean that, hey, you know, I'm going to raise my voice. I don't want to hear it. I'm going to push them aside. Because you have to be mindful of their feelings. They have feelings. And always do your best to stay calm when you're talking to them. And what helps me out is prayer.
Right.
Yeah.
Prayer helps. Pray before you talk to your children. Me and my children, we gather around and we talk. We pray before we talk. And I can't, Bobby, you know me.
Yeah.
I can't say this enough. We communicate with your children. It's very important that we keep that line of communication positive and open at all times with our children. Yeah. Because we have to do this by setting that thought. We have to set this time aside for these children.
Yeah.
And letting them know that we are there no matter what.
Yeah.
Because the last thing we want to do is push them aside and shut them out. Once you close those doors of communication, we're pushing our children out to the streets. We're pushing them out in danger.
They'll find somewhere to go. And like I say,
they will.
My business partner, Shauna Sterling, what I'm going to do with her on one of these shows, she does workshops. And one of the two main workshops we want to work with is communication and organizational skills.
Yeah.
The communication, because like a lot of people don't understand or comprehend, communication is a two-way cycle. And then, you know, even like they say, like with the psychology of whipping kids, whatever, some people spank or whoop the kids out of anger and don't give an explanation to why it's happening and things like that. But I'm going to say, just hold on. Don't hang up, because what I want to do is get these kids something to say. What do y'all think about what she just said about no communication with the adults or with the families or the mom and dad?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Good afternoon. See, I myself, I come from a single parent home with my mother. When I was five, she came here to the United States by herself from El Salvador. And over there in El Salvador, she was a registered nurse. You know, she had a good job. She graduated from university. But when she got here, she was selling Mary Kay perfumes, chains that she got from downtown to make money. And then when I turned six, she went back to get me, and I completely understand what single parents go through, because I am a product of one. You know, my biological father, he also is a university graduate, but he let alcohol take over his life. And to this day, he hits me up on Facebook asking me for money to send him, because he's in the ruins, you know, and he has three other kids over there. So I completely understand what a single parent goes through. And I think what you're doing, what you're trying to do is beautiful. And then, like Claudia said, and just go for it, you know, just don't wait, you know, because there's another single parent just like yourself, just like my mother, that mm-hmm. really needs this, you know, really, really needs somebody to, like, help them out in any way, any little way they can, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, right now, my mother is working two jobs just to, like, help support myself and my two other little sisters that she had with my ex-stepfather. You know, I myself, I'm 17 years old, but I already have a part-time job at Little Caesars, you know, to help relieve the stress of her having to worry about me, you know. And it's honestly, this job, the what I do with this organization, it helps me stay off the streets, you know, because in my past, you know, I've been through the gangs, I've been through the crews, I've been through the drinking, the partying, you know, the smoking, things like that, you know. But I've let art and, you know, philanthropic work like this have helped me stay out of there, you know. It's like I said, just go for it, you know. Don't wait another second, just go for it. There's somebody out there that really needs you, and
I think you should start a support group like
Yeah, that's why good, because I tell you what, since we out here, we're doing this show, this is a platform. I need someone who can help me or give me some assistance on trying to work on getting an 800 hotline together, so we can start a different support group. Because, like I say, we can get us a youth support group. We can get a single parenting support group. And also, I mean, I'm kind of controversial with my comments on Facebook and stuff, but us men need a support group, because we think that we think we all that, but really we're weak. We're weaker than what we think.
That's so true.
So actually, I know y'all women think we don't think, but hey, that's another thing. but what I have, I be chilling, I be observing and listening and paying attention to life. And I had to go ahead and get to the grips of how I used to view things. And like I said, Vanessa kind of met me toward the end when I was kind of, before, she didn't meet me when I used to be who I was. She met me at the end of that. But I used to be a little something else, a little something. So, but now I grown out of it, and I understand how to make things happen now. And that's why I said, 'cause my whole vision is to work with pushing the empowerment of women and then the youth. Then also my next, you know, and you know what? That's my vision. Yeah. And it's happening. Okay. I didn't make all this stuff happen. And then after this, because with the youth, she came in, boom. I'm working with, my next show going to be about the youth. Then after that, I want to work on the black and brown. Well, to get us together, too. Because it's time for everybody to come together. You know, my main thing is not getting everybody together, but all the right, like-minded people together.
That's right.
You know, so, and that's what we're going to do. So, like with you, Vanessa, like say, we can get you plugged in out here with some of the ladies I'm networking with. And then, like I said, I want to merge, you know, Arkansas, my home state. So what I'm doing out here, like, we want to create a model out here to go all over everywhere, because really everybody mimicking and copies off of L.A. So right. I tell people, if you could put a dent in L.A., you could leave a mark on the world. Yeah. So you got to start with change. And, you know, some people just ain't ready for it. They speak it out their mouth, but in reality, they can't comprehend it because they've been let down so many times. Because I said, like when I started doing what I was doing, a lot of old school would tell me, I called it confrontation conversations. Then I'm like, but I came to grips. I understand that they was upset because they're in their 60s and they've been waiting for it all this time and it ain't happened. They said, we don't want you to set yourself up for failure. I said, well, that ain't what I'm working on. So let's say we get all the right people together, we can do this.
Okay. Yeah, we can.
Okay.
Just
got to
do it.
Yeah, yeah. So
and
like,
I would like to,
yeah, go ahead.
Sorry.
No.
I would like to say something to the youth. You know, if they're listening to this show, I just want them to know, whether they realize it or not, you are the backbone to this generation and the next generation. Change is in this society. You can make a change. You can do it. It can be made by you. And how? Today, we have children sitting in front of the TV, you know, playing these video games, going out partying, getting drunk, and, you know, doing drugs, you know, anything negative that's going to be a disadvantage to them. We need to be example to them also and pull them away from that. And, you know, children, I want you to understand, think of something positive. Positive goes for yourself, something that you would like to accomplish or achieve, you know, and get a pen and paper and write it down. And work towards accomplishing them. Educate yourself. Educate yourself by listening to your superiors that are above you and that have knowledge and wisdom. My dad always told me this. Always. And it stuck with me. And your superiors, that's your parents, your grandparents, your teachers, other higher authorities such as the judge, law enforcement, and so on. Prove to your generation and the next generation that your positive behavior will and have made a difference in your generation. And again, this is where our children need to good parenting and role models. This is where that special time plays an important role in this. We have to substitute the TV, video games, whatever, and give our children something positive to do, like going to a neighbor's house, you know, raking leaves, mowing their lawn, planting flowers, helping them out, you know, getting more involved in your school activities, church communities, anything that is going to enhance you or mold, you know, you into being that next role model for your generation. And it's not going to change overnight. It takes some work. It takes some time. But in due time, the positive effort that you put into it will surface. And once you accomplish those goals, accomplish that will make you feel so good about yourself, and you begin to set more goals. Philip, you remember my father used to say all the time, baby girl, keep running. Don't stop because the sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep it apart. And he was right. So, with you know, that then heaven said, youth, please, let's make a positive change in the nation by making a change, a positive change in yourself.
And I think they're doing that too. And I'm sure glad you got on this call tonight because, like I say, back in the day with me and you was talking, you know, I don't know how many years that's been now because I've been out here 7 years. So.
Oh, that long?
Yeah.
That long when you left me?
Yeah, I guess so. They ain't been long because.
I'm proud of you. I tilt my hat to you. I really do. I'm proud of you.
Well, I appreciate you for taking the time to have a one-on-one conversation with me after everybody else saying, that boy's crazy.
Hey, we had to just be two peas in a pod.
Yeah, because like I say, even your dad, me and him, you know, we talked and everything, you know, stuff and everything, so we had good conversations and stuff. And but I couldn't blame him for not wanting me to be around Robert.
Well, yeah. I have faith in you. I mean, even though you were a little crazy, but, you know, everybody has good in the school.
Oh, yeah. And I just tell people, you know, I'm not, you know, just a real religious, go to church every Sunday type person, this and that. But I do believe in faith. And I do know that God is using me as an instrument to inspire. And I just want to do my part. And with y'all youth being as young as y'all are getting started, and then I do keep doing what you're doing. Because when I first came to L.A., my first 2 years was pure hell. I didn't know nothing to try and get. I'm going from here to here. It was all negative until my friend Dren, he let me move up there with him in San Jose for a year. Then I came back. During all them 2 years, I went through it. When I came back, I had planted some seeds that started to sprout and grow. Then when I came back here in 2011, I'm right here with a talk show right now because I didn't quit. I ain't don't know. I don't think I didn't want to sometimes. I mean, I'm out here homeless. You know, I'm going like, this got to end. But then right when I think, okay, I can't do it no more. That's when my apartment came available. I'm living in North Hollywood now, and, you know, I even got a balcony so I can look down on the streets. I just sleep, I just sleep on you. So, yeah, everything's good now. And like I said, I just want to bring a lot of other people together, like all the right like-minded people. And hold on one more second. I got this one person who haven't said anything yet, and she's sitting right here in the hot chair.
Nigel.
Yeah, so you want to speak on the mic? How you feel about with the parents talking to the youth or no communication? How you think on that? I put you on the spot. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the communication with the youth and the grown-ups? Do you feel like there's no communication or they don't listen to you?
Your parents.
Yeah. I think that,
she can't think
okay,
right now.
No, it's all right. It's okay. I just try to put you on the spot using the hot chair. So, yeah, but like I say, oh, yeah, you were something?
Yeah, actually, what's your caller's name? I'm sorry.
Vanessa. Oh, Vanessa.
Vanessa, I think your idea is great. I just wanted to say one thing, though. You need to find a good group of people in Arkansas to help you.
Okay.
Because you can do it by yourself, but you need a nice, solid group, trustworthy people that feel the same way you do, because you will run into people that, you know, have hidden agendas.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, you know, that's going to happen. But if you find yourself a nice group of trustworthy people, you can really do it. And I think it's a great idea.
Yes.
Bobby, I have my daughter here, Bria Wells, and she wants to say something, if you don't mind.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to say that, well, this is including for everybody. It doesn't have to be just you. But I just want to say that if you have, like, some sort of talent, whatever it is, whatever you're going through, don't sit on it. That's all that I really want to say, because there's a lot of people out there that they have so much talent and so much brain, and they just sit on it. They're not doing anything. They don't have an education, and they're just wasting their life going partying and going to strip clubs and everything like that. So it's just a little word of encouragement. You can do it. Don't listen to what anybody says. Like, for example, I personally can speak up to 8 different languages. I belly dance. I learn about Indian culture. I love to sing Arabic and Hindi. And no matter what everybody used to tell me, oh, you're not going to do anything with that. Just, you might as well just put it aside and do something else. I don't listen to that. I keep on going. So I just want to encourage everybody that they should do the same thing too. Just push themselves, get their education, and listen to what elders have to say so they can push themselves to become the successful person that they really are inside.
I tell you what, I'm glad you, man, I'm going to have to get you and your mom, y'all going to have to get a steady segment. Yeah. Y'all going to have to get y'all on segment
great
from
advice.
There. Yeah. Wow. You know what I'm saying? And that's one thing I want to let people know, like, with your creativity. See, but sometimes you get so down and out, it gets suppressed in you. But that's one thing, because I had a lady tell me something, I tell other people. Everybody, you know, I came to L.A. to go for entertainment. You know, that's what everybody moved here for. But she say, people spend so much time chasing their passion and their dream, they don't exercise their gifts along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So everybody, see, a person has a gift that comes easy to them to do. But what comes easy to you is fascinating to the next person. So you can be blessing somebody with your gifts while you're headed towards your mission, your goal, or your dream. So, you know, so what y'all do, whatever y'all think y'all got in your creativity, your mind, your hobby, you know, whatever it is y'all got, y'all might can use that to help do what you're doing, like with the Skid Row.
Just no twerking.
No.
That's not a hobby. That's not a skill.
No. Get that twerking mixed with working. Working is good. Take your tee off in front of it. No. Yeah, so... But we're getting ready to wind down. We got about 4 minutes left and everything. So I was going to say, before we let y'all get off the phone, y'all have like If you don't want to give your phone number, yeah, I understand that. But if you want to give your Facebook or something, you, like a way or email, for people who might want to, in Arkansas, who wants to help y'all make this movement happen, people who wants this change, so maybe they can get in contact with y'all. Because like I say, you might be the one to spark that flame to make some other people want to jump on.
All right.
So whatever information, contact information y'all want to give out.
Email?
Yeah, Vanessa?
I hear you.
Yeah, well, y'all got any contact information y'all want in?
Well, if they want to help out, they can contact me at VanessaWells39@gmail.com through email.
Okay, make sure
and you... whatever comes to mind, ideas, we'll take and try to work with it.
Okay, and spell it out for people, too, so just in case.
VanessaWells39 39@gmail.com.
Okay, because we got some people here writing it down right now. So, see, you already getting it cracking. So, yeah, so well, I sure appreciate you calling. And like yeah. I said, we're going to have you calling, like I say, a steady feature probably pretty soon. So go in and get your speeches ready.
Definitely will.
Yeah, okay, and I sure do. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby.
And good luck.
All right.
Thank you, Vanessa.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Deep.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, too.
And see, that's what makes me feel good by doing this show. And, you know, because even like when I was out there homeless, you know, I'm running to somebody who keeps me uplifted.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of down and out and everything, so.
That's who, but that's who you should hang with, people who keep you uplifted.
Right.
Not negativity. Positive.
Yeah.
It's easy to get like-minded people as long as you're willing to talk about it. And other people, you'd be surprised how many other people really want to do something, want to help, and they just haven't got that networking yet.
Yeah.
Just like Vanessa wants to. There are people in Arkansas that are doing things like this.
Right.
It's a matter of connecting. Like, I've been doing it on my own. My pocket.
Me too.
For years.
Yeah.
But I've connected with other people, and I'm always talking about it this way. Other people can talk about it, and I listen and connect with other people, and I'm always supportive of somebody else, whether it be my time, my expertise, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You give it freely. Just like my singing. I've been singing for over 40 years, and I give it freely.
Okay.
For fundraisers, for churches, for benefits.
Okay, well,
did a play.
What about right now?
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, sanctuary, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I will be your living sanctuary for you.
Nice.
Beautiful. Yeah,
thanks, kids.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So whatever you have in your heart, whatever you have in your mind, whatever you're carrying with you, Carlos, you gave me goosebumps. I call them God bumps. That's what I call them. So it's an inspiration that you can give to others. You were given that in your heart and your soul, and you've taken it and you've gone beyond what you were given.
Smart.
That's the gift.
Mm-hmm.
To be shared forever.
Okay.
And he gave it today.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there's a lot that were listening.
All right. Well, there you go. So what about give people your contact information before we get out of here?
Okay. Our website is www.lac9.org. We have a Facebook page, LA on C9. And our team project, too, is LAC9 Team Project. Check us out. Like us. Share us. Show some love.
Huh?
That's the number 9.
Oh, yeah, number 9. Also, we will have a MacArthur Park event this Sunday. Everybody's invited. Join us. Help. Eat. I mean, you name it. Sunday, MacArthur Park.
All right.
Indeed.
All right. But there we go.
What time?
8 a.m.
8 to how?
Sorry. I'm there at 8. It starts at 10.
10 to what?
10 to about 2 o'clock.
10 to 2.
Yeah. We all serve. Right. We have lots of clothes, giveaway, shoes, miscellaneous, right. And we have a lot of trays of food to serve as well.
All right. There we go. Thank y'all very much.
Thank you,
youth, for showing
up. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you, Team Project.
All right. Team Project. Team Project. All right. We out.
Peace.
Log on, log on, log on, log on to BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com. Log on, log on, log on, log on, log on, log on to BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com. BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com.